precious blood of Christ. The precious blood is what Peter called it. He said that, you know, we were rescued and saved and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Yes. The precious blood. Mm-hmm. See, the blood does not sound like it should be something precious. Mm-hmm. But when you see if you know the truth about it, it's very, very precious.
Yes.
See? And the longer you're a Christian, the more precious it gets.
That's right.
You see, it should be more precious to you now than it was when you first knew the truth about it. See, the precious blood. Okay, let's read a few of these verses. Read Ephesians 2:13. Read a little louder.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have become near in the blood of Christ.
Okay, here you can see, though these were Christians, it does refer to the time when they were not that way. They were once far off, you see. So there's a time of being once far off. You see, one time you were far off.
Yes.
You see, you just were far off. You were far off, you know.
Right.
Where's the near place? You might think it's a location. It's not. It's just God Himself. You see, you're far off. Far. Okay, these people are far off, but you see, there comes a time when we become near in the blood of Christ. What is near? Nigh. You know, near. So near. This is a real an expression of how God brings us near in the blood of Christ, so that we may touch Him. Contact Him, fellowship with Him. When, just think, you know, so many people at this campus here, it's hard not to know that that campus is not there. Nearly everybody in the country knows that campus exists. You see? But these nearly 50,000 people, they don't know. The big majority are far off. Far off. You see? But if they hear the gospel and receive the Lord, and they are brought near. And that's not just based on, you know, that's a good thing to do. That's based on the blood of Christ. You see, there God has to be a basis. God has to accept us on that basis. So this is very important, that in the initial experience, we realize that the blood of Christ is our standing, our stance that we have before God. Then, 1 John 1:9, I want to put a verse in here about having, after we become Christians and as we go on all our life, then 1 John 1:9 becomes our experience, because we will not lead a perfect life after we get saved. Okay? We will have our miscues, our falls. We will have a lot more of them than we are even conscious of. So we need this truth to show us how we can go on as brothers and sisters and saints. Okay? 1 John 1:9.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right. If we confess our sins, in the verse front of it, 1:8 is the one that has the blood of Christ in it. Based on the blood of Christ, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous. See, man's thought in the criminal justice system is be faithful and righteous to condemn people's sins. Am I right? But in Christ's way, if we confess our sins, if we really come to Him, repent and confess our sins, you see, we don't get a punishment. We get a righteous, faithful reward of forgiveness. And He does this. And if He doesn't do it, then His word is not true. And nobody wants to say your word to Him, your word is not true. Because one day you'll have to face Him face to face, and there'll be an accounting of somebody taking that kind of attitude. That word is not true. Mm-hmm. But it is true. This is 1 John 1:9. Mm-hmm. This is the word of God. So He will cleanse us. if we take the blood. Amen. Today, I just had to be cleansed. I did. Cleansed. I told the Lord, cleanse me. Not one time today. Mm-hmm. Not twice. Not three. Just numerous times I said, Lord, yes. Cleanse me. Amen. Lord, cleanse me. Amen. There's too many things touching me that are not clean. Right. Cleanse me. You know, cleanse me. Even though we have to exercise all the time, God delights not in sacrifice as much as He does in obedience. So we have to exercise in this way to live a life before God that would please Him. But when we slip, we have to immediately shake it off by confession and turning of our heart back to Him. Shake it off. Don't dwell there. Don't stay there. Don't live under the cloud of condemnation. Okay? Please, I beg you, don't do this. Don't let the cloud come and the cloud of condemnation and just, you know, live around you like your head is the top of a mountain peak. Okay? No. Don't do that. Trust the blood. Amen. Have faith in His blood.
Amen.
You see? Amen. Then it says, Colossians 1:20, I just wanted to show you this verse. And through Him, Paul says, and through Him, that's Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself. That's not just people. That's things. And probably most Christians haven't thought about that. But there is one verse that says in this universe He reconciled all things to Himself, because it says, having made peace through the blood of His cross, through Him, whether the things on earth or the things in the heavens. See, so the cross of Christ is the big thing in history. You see, the cross of Christ drew the line in human history and even the history of the universe, because it's the things in the heavens. And it just separated all the negative things that could not, they did not have their source in God's original plan. And so they had to go. Then He reconciled everything that had been tainted by the fall to Himself. And we will see this in the next age to a large extent, and then and the age after that, or not the age, but the in eternity in the New Jerusalem, in its total consummation, the cross of Christ will work out this big separation so that we will not be bothered by the things that He consigned, you see, to the lake of fire, and yet we will be enjoying all the things that He collected of Himself into this one entity called the New Jerusalem.